safely. And if I say good morning, if it was 6 o'clock this morning, for those of you who were awake, then I would have said good morning on a cold wind this morning. But now it's not that cold anymore, but I think all of us can sense that the seasons really are changing. I think some of us thought that the rain's going to last till August. I don't know if it's going to, but I think it's slowly but surely decreasing now. And then also, I'm just looking at Marissa and Krista, and I just want to say we're counting with you guys. You know, Maritza always, before we got married, we counted how many sleeps or sloppies it was before we got married. I know, Henning, Aaron, you guys, maybe you're counting every night before you go to bed because you don't know how many good night sleeps you're still going to have, but it's going to be a wonderful blessing. All of us are thinking of you guys and we are praying with you. Then just a big thank you to Aaron. I had a last weekend off. Aaron was the wonderful man that stand here in my place. He stood in the pulpit. So just thank you, Aaron, for doing a wonderful job. I appreciate it, and we had a wonderful resting long weekend last week. That was really nice. Now, I think all the public holidays are now quickly coming to an end. I think there's one or two left late in the year, and I also know the school holidays are almost finished. For those of you teachers, Blanche, David's wife, I know you guys have got the week or what left, and then we're all back to business, and I think church will be full again. But nevertheless, I've got my 10-page sermon here printed out, everything. I'm not going to let you guys down, so you can sit here for the next hour and a half. I'm not going to preach less because there's less people. But let's pray together this morning. Father God, we thank you that we can be here together, Lord God, as your children, as your sheep, Lord God, that we can stand here and we can worship you, Father God. Thank you that we could bring our praise and our worship here this morning, Father God, and that we can come to give as well, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, as David has said, Lord God, Lord, that, yes, Lord, that we can be here as a family, Father God, and that we can give, Lord God, and Lord, that we can bring worship to you and worship your name, Father God. I trust that you'll open our hearts, that you'll speak to us, Father God. You know, as we are sitting here on this Sunday morning, Father God, you know each and every one of us. You know us so well, Father God, and you know about our dreams and about our challenges, Lord God. You know about our prayers, Lord God. You know what's on our hearts this morning, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak. I know, Lord, I trust that you'll speak to every person here, Father God, and that you'll fill our tanks, Lord God, that spiritually we will feel even just stronger, Father God, when we leave here this morning, Father God. And Lord, we just want to say, Lord, that we can do nothing in our own strength, Lord. We are so dependent on you, Father God. And Lord, we also, just as David has said, that we should be, money should flow through us, Lord God. I also ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will flow through us, Lord God, that we won't give spiritual gifts or anything to ourselves, Lord God, but that it will be a blessing to the people around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you all can relax. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand next to me. I'll stand here alone, but I do know I'm not completely alone. I know that the Lord will be with me, and I need it so much. So this morning I just want to, this is the fourth week that I'll be sharing on prayer. We discussed a lot about prayer and talked a lot about it. I shared a lot of quotes with you, and I said, you know, the devil is fine with it as long as we talk about prayer, but if he can keep us away from praying, you know, that's what he wants. The moment we start to pray, then he really starts to worry. So I trust and hope that most of you would have been by now praying more and understanding, your understanding about prayer will be better. I personally feel blessed by this last few weeks, and I really trust, you know, that God will continue with us. I think many times God tests us. He don't answer our prayers immediately, and he will see if we will persist. Now, just a little bit of catching up the past few weeks. The first Sunday I talked about to pray like a Hannah. I shared a little bit on that. And then the second one, I shared a few quotes on prayer. And we talked about praying without ceasing. Scripture says we should continually keep on praying. And then the previous week before Aaron's, you know, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. Now, Jesus was on both ends of prayer. You know, he as a human, just as us, he was praying as well. We can see it in Scripture. But also we know that on the other end, he's God as well. You know, and all our prayers go actually right through him. He's the mediator. He brings it before God. So we know that when Jesus is teaching us on prayer, that is exactly what we should listen to. Now, have some of you ever experienced that you've been praying for something, maybe you've been fasting for something, and then it just didn't happen? Have any one of you, or maybe God said to you, not now. Have that happened to any one of you guys? it certainly happened a few times to me, and it's keep on happening to me. Now, just in our own family, you know, you've seen my kids, most of you know them. A lot of the time, I need to say to them, no, not now. You know, no DVD now, no Coke, no sweets before going to bed. I'll try to translate it for the English-speaking people, but you know, they call chewing gum, they talk about a co. Now the fashion thing in our house is, Papa, ek wil 'n kou hê. You know, Daddy, I want a chewing gum. That's the thing. Now, we have to tell him all the time, listen, this is not something you're going to have 24-7. And then because I'm the father and I know better, I have to explain to them, listen, guys, you're not going to have a cow now. I called them the other night, and I actually enjoyed it quite a lot, but at the other side, I was a bit worried. Me and Maritz, I think we were bathing Ulrike or doing something, and I just looked there into the sitkamer, and I saw, you know, Gustav standing on the chair, and he's into Maritza's handbag, and I know he was sinning at that moment. And then I said, what are you doing? And then he had a fright, and he stood up, and then he said, I'll say it in Afrikaans first, and then in English, he said, ons het mama se kou gegryp. And I thought that was very, very funny, and he made a good plan, and then I told him, no. If you steal, you're a thief, and we don't want to punish you for that. But I thought it was very cute that they actually could go and make a plan like that. And he was very chuffed. He thought he did something wonderful to kind of steal it, I guess. But you know, guys, I believe all in our lives, as I pray this morning, we are sitting here, we've got different challenges in life. And the fact is, we pray, we go to God and we ask Him that He will provide us with something, that He will give something, that He will do something. And many times, I know of many testimonies that you guys have given. I just can't forget that memory that Blanche has shared last year about the daughter going to South Africa, and the finances was a challenge, and then we prayed and trusted, and eventually she came back with a gold medal in gymnastics. That was just wonderful, and I made her share it. And many of us, and many of you guys, I know, have examples like that in your own lives. But sometimes, you've been praying for a long time for something, and then it just don't happen. Or maybe at a certain point, you're starting to sense that this isn't going to happen right now. And then you wonder, is it God speaking or not, and that type of thing. And after a while, you can sense, maybe God is not going to give it to you. So I want to talk to us a little bit, I want to share a little bit on what do we do, and I'm going to look at scripture, when God says no or not now. How does that work? Because many times, you know, we live in a fast food age. You know, you wake up, or you maybe late afternoon, you feel like steers, we don't have a McDonald's, and then you take your $25 and you go there and you buy it, and you can almost buy anything these days as long as you have the funds for it. But you all know life doesn't work like that. Many things we can't have. Just on the side, sometimes I have to tell my wife no as well. You know, no, Maritza, we're not going to Mauritius this year. Or I have to tell myself, Carl, no, you want that, I know, but you're not going to have it. And I have to speak to myself that way because I know it will definitely be a disaster to our budget. So I'm sure all of you by now know what I'm talking about this morning. And I really believe it's important because a lot of people I've seen through the years, and I'm not that old, but I've seen that people, when their prayers don't get answered, many times people get discouraged, and then they go to God and they ask, but where are you, God, and how does it work? And that's exactly what the devil wants, because then we go into that reasoning, does God exist, and why doesn't He love me, or why doesn't He give it to me? I think some of you might have been there. So sit back, relax, I'm going to read 13 verses to us. I'm going to read again the Lord's Prayer, but just a little bit on. And I believe I'm going to look at that. There's four things that I think we should all notice and take home today regarding when God doesn't come through for us at that stage the way we want it, or when He says no, just wait a little bit. So those of you who've got Bibles, you can turn to Luke 11, verse 1. It will be also on the screen, and then you can either listen or read with me. Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John has also taught his disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who has indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And He said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Okay, there's a lot we can learn from this. One thing that first come to my mind is, I think Alvin, although he haven't read scripture, he understands this thing completely. You know, because he thinks through persistence he's going to get what he wants. And that's a thing that all of us, that's fathers or mothers, by the way, mums, congratulations on Mother's Day, that all kids want to do this. I think if they keep on asking, crying, shouting, throwing a tantrum, they're going to get what they want. But it doesn't work that way. And then you can just think of, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's June or July, it's very cold. Now someone is knocking, he's asking for food, and you think, oh, will I wake up? And it's Jesus is telling us this, that we can understand a certain picture, that we can get a certain picture here. And then he says he doesn't wake up because it's his friend, but through persistence. So I think that my conclusion is that person just wanted knocking at the door to stop. Okay? Now, I don't think God works with us through that way. Now, just a few things on this part of Scripture. We're going to use this morning for both, of let's say for all 4 of those lessons that I believe can help us to understand better how God is working with us when we pray. And remember, as I shared a previous Sunday, when we pray, you know, the more people that are praying for something, the more glory God will receive when that thing is happening. As I said, if we are all praying for one person's healing and that person get healed, then we can all say, praise God, because God has healed that person. Just a few things here, very interesting, something I read. Luke is, it seems, he's the specialist on praying. You know, he's got in the book of Luke, there's 9 places where Luke makes reference to Jesus praying, and of those, 7 of those prayers are only in the book of Luke. So we can definitely listen to that. And there's no better teacher on prayer than Jesus Christ himself, as I said, because he prayed as a human, and then also he's the mediator, so he understands exactly. Now, the first lesson that I want to share with us this morning is, prayer is always supposed to be God-centered and God-exalting. Now, that I talked a little bit on that the previous Sunday that I preached, you know, hallowed be your name. That's a place, that is what Jesus has said, how we should pray. So when he said, hallowed be thy name, it's something we can just stand still a little bit, and we can just think, that means that we should give all honor, all glory to God, that we should exactly understand who we are praying to. You know, we're not just asking a friend a favor. We are praying to Lord God Almighty. He's the ruler, he's the king of the universe. He created heaven and earth. That we should just keep and understand that. You know, so when we go to our inner rooms, when we're on the road, when we are at work, and we are praying, that we just understand and remember that God is the Father. He knows better. You know, when we pray, he understands, he knows our lives exactly. You know, when I tell my young boys, the swimming pool is open, don't play there, then they can't see the danger. They think it's nice, it's water, it's fun. But I can understand, I know they can't swim yet, it's dangerous for them. So I'm the Father, I know that. And they are not at that place yet. So when we pray, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, we should remember it's the name of God that we are talking about. And we should just understand, you go and read the Psalms and you will just see who God is, and understand that it's something. I think sometimes we just start off by praying and we give our requests, and we tend to forgive a little bit who our God and the Father is, we pray. And then there's something I also read that was quite interesting. It says, when we pray, and that comes from the word houten, and that we can actually also be translated whenever. You know, so it means whenever we are praying, I'm missing something here that I actually, it's funny when you've got your notes and you've got something in your heart and then you skip something and then you want to go back, but I'll come back to that just now. Now I've got it. Thank you, Lord. Whenever, you know, this is the way Jesus said we should pray. And we can actually go back and say, whenever we pray, we must say, hallowed be thy name. Okay? It's just a way to start. So that doesn't mean from now on, every time you pray, you must pray specifically this way. I think for us, it's just important, looking at the first thing that I want to share, that we know that hallowed be thy name. That is God who we are praying to, and that we just don't give our requests as we are making a list when we go to maybe to Checkers or to Spa or anything like that. Then the second lesson that we should just keep in mind, and there's something important to that, is God answers prayers for sinners, not for perfect people. Okay? So I believe all of us will admit that we are sinners, but fortunately through the blood of Jesus Christ we can be righteous. But this, let me just read to you from in Psalm 66 verse 18. It says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Okay, so it's important to understand. That doesn't mean when we have sinned, when we have done something wrong, when there's something in our heart, we cannot pray. I think that's actually the best time to go and to pray. But you know, there's a difference between someone who's repentant and comes to God and repent of his sin, and someone who's got a hardened heart. You know, if I were to tell, let's use Paul, I tell him, listen, my friend, you are doing something wrong, you're sinning, and he tells me, oh, well, it's my life, I can do whatever I want. You know, that's one thing. But if we are repentant, if we come to God every time, you know, then it's different. Then we can come to God and we can ask him for forgiveness, because we know the blood of Jesus Christ have made provision for all our sins. But just a word of caution there, you know, if you live in a place and you know you are keeping in sin, it can have an effect of on your prayer life. So it's important that as we are praying, as we are living our prayer lives, that we should know that we should always keep the cross in front of our eyes. That we should always know the cross of Jesus Christ is so important, because that has changed everything concerning praying. There's two ways that I want us to look to this part I read, and to the part of scripture that I read in the Lord's Prayer, and that is, he says, when you pray, that's the way Jesus said to them, listen, I'm going to teach you now, and when you pray, use the following words. And then in verse 4, it says, and forgive us our sins. Okay? So the point I want to make here is, I believe that when we come to God, when we come before him, and you know that you have done something wrong or there's sin in your life, just get your slate clean. Just ask the Lord and say, listen, Lord, I made this mistake. I've done that. Maybe I've, whatever, you will know in your own life. And just get it clean. Then that's the wonderful thing. We can just go on our knees and remember, a person is very strong on his knees concerning prayer. That we can just come before God and ask him, Father God, I've made this mistake. In the name of Jesus, please forgive me. And you know, because of God's heart and we know scripture, we know we can be forgiven for anything that we have done. So we can actually understand it. Whenever you pray, we can say to God, please forgive us our sins. Okay, because a hardened heart, as we see in Psalm 66, I think, I don't know exactly how it works. I think none of us can know. But we can see from scripture that can have an effect on our prayer lives. And then the second thing that I want to share with you, also concerning this point, is in verse 13. I want to read it to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, all of us, none of us are perfect. I guess there's, in this fallen age that we live in, we are righteous and can be righteous before God and through Jesus Christ, but we are all sinners. None of us are perfect or holy, because then we won't need Jesus Christ. But those of us who are fathers, you know, when our kids come to us and they ask us for food or for something, you know, we won't give them a scorpion or a serpent or something bad. By the way, last night I killed a little snake on my property, And I thought, I wonder if that's got something to do. I know God hasn't given me a snake there. It's just part of nature, I guess. So I'm not too worried about that. But the point I want to make is, you know, we are all, how much more, it says, will God want to give to us what we ask for? So we just, at the end, we're just going to look a little bit at that. I think there's a few things that we need to qualify. And that's why I always, when the kids are here, the high school kids, and they ask, Pastor, please pray me for the exams. Then I tell them, God isn't into magic. You know, you just can't pray quickly and then God's going to give you an A symbol and everything's going to be okay. You know, you need to work hard. You need to do your best and then God will do the rest. But here scripture is telling us, you know, if we are evil, and it sounds hard words, that's the words that Jesus was using, you know, how much more, if we will give good things to our kids, how much more will God want to give good things to his children? So, let's go on to the third point, which is going to be, our Father in heaven never gives us a snake when we ask for a fish. And then we can read there, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? So, in fact, if we go a little bit further and we say, yeah, I actually made that point already, how much more he will give it to us. Now, this is where I want to come to the most important part of Scripture. I remember, and I was sitting there last night and I was thinking about it, and I think some of you might remember things in your life similar like this. When I was about 15 years old, you know, those of you who know me by now, I've shared this with some of you, some might know it a little bit better, but some of you might not know it. You know, I was about 15 years old, and every holiday we came here to Namibia, we visit both uncles, my father's brothers, they performed here in the southern eastern parts of Namibia. And you know, I was in standard 7 or grade 9, and that's usually a time in your life when you're starting to think a little bit about the subjects that you will choose for the last part of high school and what you want to do with your life afterwards. And you know, taking all things into account, I thought there's just one thing that I want to be and that I can be, and that's a farmer. You know, I know at least David will understand. He's into that business as well. And for many years, and which is now, that was, I was 15, so it's about 16 years now. You know, I've treasured that dream. When I went to university, I started to study agriculture. Now, God knows better, you know, and throughout my first year, he closed a few doors to me, especially the door to mathematics. So I believe that was quite a door closed into my face not to go on to study a BSc degree. But you know, I just had it in my heart. I want to farm. I want to be outside. I want to be in the sun. I want to work with animals. I want to do things in my own time. I just want to be there. I thought I'll be the perfect farmer. Okay? And I fight a lot of fights. I cried a lot of tears. My dad has helped me a lot, and I think he prayed a lot for me. It's actually sad he can't be here this morning because he will know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what, guys? In your own lives, you maybe have something like that you've been trusting God for as well. As I said, I kind of made a compromise, and I said, God, okay, you brought me to Namibia, so I will lay down the farming dream for now a little bit. And you know, the funny thing is, God did make me a sheep farmer, because here you guys are sitting. So I guess I'm in the farming business a little bit. But the point I want to make, when I was praying, and I was praying with a sincere heart, you know, Lord, I know I didn't study agriculture, and I didn't inherit a farm, but if you go and look in my office, you will see there's a picture of my uncle's farm, and it's just beautiful. I just enjoy it. It's not an issue to me anymore, if I can put it that way. But the fact is, I prayed for many years. I cried before God and asked him, Lord, where's my farm? When will I get it? Will I ever get it? Now, because God didn't give it to me, does that mean he gave me a serpent or a scorpion or something? Is that what it means? If you are trusting for a husband this morning, if you are trusting for a financial breakthrough, if you are trusting to finish your degree or whatever it must be in your life, and you are not having it, you know, if God is saying not now or no, you know, is God giving you a serpent? Is he giving you a scorpion? How does that work? Okay, so I trust that most all of you will be able to relate with me. And the most important thing that I believe we must keep close to our hearts is, just as I will tell Gustav and Alwyn, keep away from the swimming pool. It's better for you. It's safer for you. God knows, you know, I'm not a very mechanical person. So probably the first month that my water pump would have broke, probably the sheep would have died because I can't fix it. I don't know. But the moral of the story is God knows better. And many things that He don't give to us in a certain season is because He knows better. And I know today, I know I must be here. Not because I'm grand or qualified or anything, okay? But I know this is where God wants me in my life, okay? So I know that is why God, for how long in my life? For 16 years. He has closed that door, that thing that is my heart's desire, still in many ways. He closed it because He knows better. I don't know. Maybe in a year or 10 or 50 or never. Maybe I'll never be a farmer the way I had a beautiful romantic picture in my head. Maybe never. You know, but then I, at the end of my life, I believe I will be able to praise God and say, thank you, God, for protecting me from something I was maybe never supposed or called to do. And I want to hold it before you guys. Maybe you are battling with something. Maybe you think, but God, everything makes sense. Why can't I have this thing right now? And then we must always remember that prayer was never intended. That's why I said we start off with, hallowed be thy name. You are the God. You are the creator. God can measure the universe by the span of His hand. It says in Isaiah. So He's the Father. Praying is never a place where we can tell God what to do. He knows better. And it's something that we must appreciate. It's something that we can be thankful for because He does know better. And I want you guys to remember this sermon that I'm preaching this morning, what I'm sharing here, I don't want to see, don't see it in isolation. See it as part of the other three sermons that I taught on praying, that we can all learn to understand better how does things work. Okay? So this morning, if you are sitting here and you are wondering, God, why are you giving me a scorpion or a serpent? You know, and I've prayed for maybe for 10 or 20 or more years. Please understand and know, I believe that's the way I understand it, that is because God knows what is better for us. He knows what's best for His children. And we should never try to run the universe, you know. God knows exactly. We don't have the grace. We don't have the wisdom. We are so dependent on our wonderful Father God. At least we know that He has included us in His plans. That's why, as I said, I want everything must flow together when we end with this, let's say, series on prayer, and I will continue with it, that we know that we can glorify God. Last night, someone again SMS me and said, can we pray for this, please? And I said, yes, definitely, and I'll send it forward to a few people, and I know some of you have received the SMS, and I know the testimony is there this morning. And that's wonderful. That's why we're praying. That's because we can say, praise God, because He came through for us when we couldn't make it work. Then the last one, and that's, I want to encourage you so much on that, because as I said, remember, I'm praying for that, just that one thing in my life. In a sense, I've been trusting for 16 years. Now, in my life, that's a long time. Some of you are older, maybe you've been trusting for something also for a long time. And that is, persistence in prayer will prevail, where giving up won't help. Okay? So keep on praying, and I want us to go to this part in Scripture again. Let's read from verse 5 to 8. And He said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door is already shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now that's something I always missed. That's something I never got this. It's something I actually read now. And what's the moral of the story? What's the point of the parable that I've just read, that last little part? And that is, it's not because of his friendship, but because of the persistence that he gave him eventually the bread. So this morning I want to say to you, we can see from Scripture, if you haven't got what you wanted right now, keep on knocking, because if we just keep read a little bit onwards to verse 9 and 10, then we will understand. It says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Okay? So Scripture, God is encouraging us. if you are praying for something for a month and it doesn't work out, then don't stop there. Don't say, Lord, I'll just leave it and walk away. If God tells you no, that's something different. But keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on asking. You know, if you are trusting for someone to come to salvation, if you are trusting for that husband or that wife, if you are trusting for that car, that first car of yours, and it hasn't come through, keep on trusting, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on trusting God for that thing you don't have. Because the testimony will be so much better. And I trust and believe that all of us will understand this morning that if you don't have it right now, it's because God knows better. I want to read to you, I read it in the week, Thomas Watson. He was 350 years ago, he was a Puritan pastor, and he wrote a book called Body of Divinity. And he tried to figure out, why does God delay certain things? Because when we look back at the things I've taught on the past 4 weeks, hallowed be thy name. God is God. He can do anything. You know, he can make the light shut down right now. He can do anything. We all know that, and I trust that we all believe that. So how is it then that God sometimes just don't do it? He had four things, and I believe it's something important that we can take home in our hearts this morning and just keep it in the back of our minds when a certain situation like this might arise. The first thing that he said is, because he loves to hear the voice of prayer, you let a musician play a great while before you throw him down money, because you love to hear the music. Now, he's saying there, God loves to hear us pray. And I say to us, the more we can pray, the more we can do, you know. If we are praying church, we will be so much more be able to do the will of God. So, he's saying here, God, sometimes he will let us pray a longer time because he enjoys it much to hear us pray. Why? Because we are 100% dependent on him. He's God. We are the children. The second point that he made is he may humble us. We may too easily assume that we merit some ready answer or that he is at our back and call like a butler, not as sovereign Lord or a loving father. Now, what I can get from this is, as I just said previously, you know, he's God, he's the sovereign father, he knows better, and he's not just a butler that we can click our fingers to and say, okay, God, please, I need this, I need the answer now, deliver, okay? But please understand as well, I'm not saying this morning, God won't answer your prayers immediately, you know? I'm going to end off with just looking a little bit at that. I think next Sunday I might continue with that. Many times, and I'm sure the testimonies are there, we've trusted God and said, Lord, must I move to Rundu or should I stay here? Should I take the job? Yes or no? And God will come free. He will show you exactly because he knows better and he knows you need to know right now. Many times God will answer our prayers very quickly. And I can testify of that. Then the third point that Thomas Watson made is he says, because ye see, we are not yet fit or ready for the mercy we seek. It may be he has things to put in place in us or in our church or in the world. There are a million pieces to the puzzle. Some things go first to make place for the others. See, the English he used is a little bit different, the words that we use today. But you know, once again, it comes back to that point, you will know better. Many times, we are not mature enough. Maybe you're thinking about that, and I'm using it over as just as an example. I'm not speaking to any one of you guys, please, this morning. You're thinking about the husband or the wife thing. Maybe it's better for you to have it in 1 year's time and not now. God will know which is best for you. And finally, the mercy we pray for may be the more prized and may be sweeter when it comes. And that is just, you know, when I tell my boys, okay, guys, you've played a long now time at the side of the swimming pool, let's put on your safety jackets and now we can swim. Then they have a wonderful time. Then they enjoy it so much. Okay? So that thing you've been trusting for, when it comes through, enjoy it a lot because then God has given it to you at the right time and the right place. Something I'm going to end off with this morning that I thought a long time and I didn't always understand it, but it's important because I just want us to understand that the devil never gets a foothold in this thing. And I want to read to us from Mark 11, from verse 22 to verse 25. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whatever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Now, that was something that challenged me a lot in my life, and I didn't always completely understand it. Because if I trust in my heart, I'm going to ask that mountain to move and to fall into the sea, and then it just doesn't happen. Have some of you experienced things like that? Maybe through your prayer life, you trust, you fast, you pray, you ask your friends to pray with you, and then it don't happen. But isn't there then a contradiction? Isn't there a problem then? Because we can understand from Scripture God wants to give good things to His children, just as we want to give it to our children. We don't want to give them scorpions or snakes. Now, if He says, believe, then you can have anything you want. Okay? Where's the contradiction in this? How does this work? And the important rule here is that we should go and do a little bit human hermeneutics. And that is why it's important to do Bible school, and that we can understand this. And when we get to a challenge like this, we need to understand that Scripture will interpret Scripture. We can see from, I'm going to read just two verses to you, and from that we will see that you can't just say, in the name of Jesus, and then believe in your heart, and then you will have anything you want. And I want us to understand, because sometimes I don't want us to give a door to the devil there and to think, yeah, God doesn't love me, or that's a typical thing that he will start to tell us. If we go and try to understand this, and we go to James 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Okay, there's a lot of different translations that will say it a little bit easier to understand. But basically, he says, when you're asking and you're asking something selfish or something for your own passion, your own desire, okay, then you don't going to get it. But in the context here, it's in a negative sense. So that doesn't mean you can't pray for a bicycle or a job. You can, definitely you can. In this context, he's saying, if you're asking for your own selfish desires and passions, then it won't be given to you. Okay, so already we can see there, you won't get just anything. You understand? You with me this morning? Then, secondly, if we go on to 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, and this text helps us a lot, and that is the way I said Scripture will interpret Scripture. This is the confidence which we have in Him, that if we ask anything, and here's the important part, according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the... No. Okay, and there it goes on. So, I don't know, some of you might remember at about April, May in 2010, when Pastor Jankor Brink was here, he talked about yoking with God and making disciples, and he used that example of a discipline and that type of thing. And here he says, you know, if we ask anything... Now, if you stop right there, you think you can ask just anything. But then he says, according to His will. Nah? And that's the important thing that we should know. Many times, if you, there's an old saying that in ministry, where God leads you, He will feed you. And it goes for everyday life. I just want to interrupt myself a little bit. And that is when we, it's not because my boy is standing there. But you know, last week, as I said, I didn't preach. And because Aaron's did, and then I put in a day's leave for Tuesday, and then I had 6 days. That was wonderful, you know. I just were at home, and I worked there. I'm building one or two things, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, but something, it wasn't a very spiritual time, if I may put it that way. But you know what was something that I believe God just reminded me of again? I talked a lot of things. I wrestled a little bit with God through, and I asked Him about it. And the thing I just want to share with you, guys, that God used ordinary people like me and you to do His work. If you haven't seen the movie Faith Like Potatoes of Angus Buchan, you will see it in his life. Ordinary guy, farmer, you know, he says, I've seen him speak a few times now, he's not a qualified grand guy with theology degrees and stuff, but you know, many people has come to salvation, into the kingdom of God, into the church, through his life and his ministry. God uses ordinary people like me and you to do anything in ministry. We are the body of Christ. And I just want to encourage you. Obviously, it's a bit more than that, but that is what I believe that God has just showed me in my life again. That God used ordinary people like me and you to do anything in His kingdom. That's why the wonderful thing, the worship team were here, they were doing their thing, and it's wonderful. They aren't, none of them, as far as I know, make a life out of music. But they come and give their talent here. And I just want to encourage you, whatever you're doing in life, God wants to use you there where you are, with and without your sin, just the way that you are. So guys, just to end off with here, to understand something about prayer, okay? I hope it helped you a little bit. It certainly helped me a little bit to understand just this whole thing about timing, that God will give us something when He knows it's best. And then when we go to the scriptures, and we will look at more of those in future, when we read that one place, as I just want to read it to you, that you just see it. Be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. It will be done to him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Okay, so you with me? It can be a little bit that you think, okay, you can just pray now, and then you're going to receive it. But it's important that we go and look at other parts of Scripture to exactly understand. There's a bit of a qualification that we have to make, and to just understand that we need to get in line with the heart of God and with His desires, the things that Scripture taught us about, and Jesus Christ has ministered so much about. So for those of you guys who are trusting for your form, for that thing in your life, keep on persisting. You know, if God is telling you, just wait a little bit, God will give it to you in the right season, and the testimonies will be there. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that we can learn through the scriptures, Lord, so much about your Father's heart as well. Father, that we can learn, Lord, that you will not give us, that you say in your word, Lord, even though we are evil, Father God, that we are infallible, or we are fallible fathers, Lord God. We aren't perfect, and you are the perfect Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can see from that your heart, that you want to bless your children, that you want to give to us, Father God, and that you will never, as we in the natural, won't give scorpions or snakes to our children, Lord, that you won't give it to us, Father. You will give us something so much better, so much more. You'll even give us the Holy Spirit to come and live and to come and dwell in us, Father God. And I trust, Lord, that we will understand this important thing about prayer, Lord God, that we will understand about who you are, that you are Lord God Almighty, Father, and that we are speaking to you as a father as well, Father, and that you know for your children what is best, Father. And I trust, Lord, as we are sitting here this morning and we are maybe still resting in our own lives, Father God, and we are trusting for things, and it just seems, Father God, if you have maybe forgot about it, or it doesn't happen now, Father, I pray that we will keep on seeking, that we will keep on asking, and we will keep on knocking, Lord. And I know, Father, that you will give us in the right time of our lives, that you will give us exactly what we need. Father, and I want to thank you this morning for us as a church as well, for us as a family, Father God, that you have given us so many wonderful things in the right time and in the right season, because you know what is best for us, Father God. I want to thank you for that, Lord God, and I want to ask, Father God, that you give us the wisdom, Lord God, to understand this, Father God, that when we come in line with you, Lord God, when we pray for the things on your heart, Lord, that it will happen so much faster, Father God. But thank you that we can also know, Lord God, that you want to bless us, Father God, in our personal lives, in our family lives, in our marriages, Lord God, that you want what is good for us, Lord God. And please, Lord, please teach us to be wonderful fathers and mothers as well, Father God, that we can teach our children about you and about the things of life, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, there's something important. As we are going to end off now, there will be, as Kola said, there will be coffee and something cool to drink. If you ever in your life became offended with God, or something like that has happened in your heart, because you've been trusting for a long time for something, and now that thing has never came through, God has never given you your form, and you maybe stood back a little bit and said, yeah, well, God, then maybe I'm not special, or maybe you don't love me that much, or anything like that, and there's any resentment in your heart, there's anything challenging like that, or because that's why I said, we don't want to get the devil to give you a place in your prayer life like that. So if there's anyone here this morning, and you feel you're maybe a little bit angry towards God because he haven't given that thing to you. I would like to pray with you this morning. I would like to agree with you and just to speak a little bit to you. So if there's anyone like that, you can please just come to me after we've finished. And then guys, you must enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a nice week. I think David has got a testimony to share or something, maybe.
While Pastor Carl was talking about praying, the Holy Spirit really just prompted in my heart to share this with the church. I know that our church is a praying church. I've got a very good friend and an old colleague of mine. In 2008, when Mary and I just returned back, we visited them, and they had a little boy. He was about 6 or 7 months old at that time. And on Friday, we just find out that this little boy had brain cancer. He's only 3 years old now. In his brain stem, he's in a coma since Monday. Friday, I find out for the first time, so me and three other pastors went over to the hospital to pray. And since then, he's on my mind. His name is Prince Munjo, and a lovely couple, and I just know that we can pray for them. God can heal that boy. Although medical and everyone think he's gone already. I talked to the mom this morning, and she said, my baby is sleeping. And he's their baby, and I know that each one of us can really pray for Prince. Let us pray that God can heal him. I know God can. Because Friday, I talked to the mom and dad, and they said, our heart's desire is that God will heal our baby. So let us pray. Let us ask Pastor Carl to, let us stand in a gap for them, and let us pray for them, please.
I also want you guys, those of you that are comfortable, that you maybe just take hands and we all come in agreement and trust. Before I pray, I'll just going to give a minute or so that all of you, that we just bring our own prayers, that we just trust together with David and the other people praying, that as you say, we are a praying church, we believe in the power of prayer, and that we trust that God will at this stage, I believe, to heal someone. That is the heart of God. So just focus here on me for a moment and not on them. We'll sort it out later. But maybe just turn to each other one by one, and then we can just pray a little bit, and then afterwards I will pray as well. So you can just close your eyes and pray. Father God, we know, Lord, that you are God, that you are our creator, Lord God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord God, and that you hold all life in your hands, Father, that you create, Father God. And this morning we come to you, Lord, as a church, Lord, as a family, Father God, and we trust for little Prince, Lord. Lord, he's just 3 years old, Father God. We trust for healing, Lord God. Lord, we know that you hang on the cross, Lord God, and that your blood has flown, Lord God. That scripture can say, by your stripes we will be healed, Father God. And all of us come together in our corporate prayer this morning, and we bring our faith, we trust, Lord God. Father, we want to ask this morning, Father God, that you will touch him, Father, that you will touch his head, that you will touch his brain, Father God. Father, that you will start to heal every little cell in his body right now, Father God. We trust it, Father God, and we are praying together. Many people are praying together, Father God, and we believe, Lord God, that we can, as the healing will start to come in his life, we speak it, we thank you for it, Father God, and we can, that we can stand together, and that there will be a testimony, Father God, and that we can raise our hands and glorify you, Father God, for touching him and for healing him, Father God, that you can be glorified, Lord God. And Father, this morning we want to say it out loud, Lord God, that Father God, that what the devil has stolen from him, Father God, that you will give it back, Lord God, that every little cell that you will restore, Father God, and that you will be able to live a normal life, Lord God, and that his life will be a testimony, Father God, of your grace, of your goodness, and about your love, Lord God. We know you've got a plan with every person's life, Lord God, and we can speak it, and we know, Lord, as he's still very young, Lord God, that you've got a calling upon his life, and that you've got a destiny for him, Father God, and we want to trust and speak this morning, Lord God, life over that little boy, and Father God, that he will be able one day to walk into what you have called him for, Father God, and the sickness will not cripple him or hold him back in any way, Father God. And we will give all the glory only to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, if there's any one of you, if you want to pray together, I will be here. I would love to pray with you this morning. The rest of you guys, there's cookies and coffee and Oros at the back. Please spend some time and have a bit of fellowship, and then enjoy the rest of your Sunday a lot. Amen.